This morning, just like we did in the first service, we want to talk about after camp meeting and want to look at quench not the spirit, that instruction from Paul. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, just go there quickly because of our time. We were talking about camp meeting and I'll just repeat some things I said in the first service. 1 Thessalonians 5, quickly go there, and verse 19, where Paul says, quench not the spirit. You see, many times Christians have what you can call a mountaintop experience, then a valley experience. I don't know what year, I don't know whether Jim O'Keefe was at that camp meeting, where I taught thoughts on the Christian experience. Were you there? Okay, you came the year after. All right. That was 2004 camp meeting. Thoughts of the Christian experience. I'm not sure it's on Living Word Media. Maybe I should ask them to produce it again. And what was I sharing there? That it's possible to be consistent. And there are too many Christians I know that are not consistent. So, you know, and they ask, some people ask you, how can you be consistent? Consistency is a culture. The same way you learn a language is the way you learn consistency. There are a good number of Christians, they'll have a good experience, and then that experience just doing the woo. So they'll be on the valley on Monday, on the mountain on Monday, the valley on Tuesday. And you wonder, what happened? After a good experience, oh my God, we had a blessed encounter. I shared this in the first service. There was someone who told me, said, but I was in that same meeting you were talking about in the 90s. I said, yeah. You know, but I don't see that meeting that way. He forgot that we both described that meeting that night. But you know what happened? Is what we do afterwards. You can't always have camp meeting every Sunday. You can't have that, ooh, wow experience. You must know why it is given. So I gave us something I learned from Dr. Miles Monroe. He's no more around this part of heaven. And I listened to this teaching he did. That was in 1992. A friend of mine, TJ, gave me the tape. Azusa Revival. So he said something that stood with me. He said, you don't go for a meeting and come with a good time. He said, there must be a mandate on your life. There must be a responsibility. And I said as the first service, you know, if you go for a banquet, people are, you know, having fun, music is being played. Nobody will ask you after. So, what did you take from the banquet? You say, food now. Or you go for a dinner. Say, how was the dinner? Say, oh, it was lovely. The food was, oh my God, the food was out of this world. They served me Asian meals. They served me, some European dishes. I'm just saying that I don't eat it all. I'm very terrible with food. Don't try and surprise me with food. You will surprise yourself. Just tell me ahead of time. I'll tell you what I want to eat. You go to the restaurant and say, you will like it. So there was someone prepared one Mexican meal for me and said, it's from Mexico. This is, I said, I've never been to Mexico. So what do you want to eat? Something close to Nigeria. I don't use my tummy for testing and practical. You know. And you say, how was the meal? Very lovely. Oh, you go for a concert. So, how was the concert? Oh my God, those guys can't sing. Then the guy now says, so, how is that now going to affect your world? Which world? I just went to enjoy myself. That's the difference between a Christian meeting and those kind of meetings. There must be something you are taking out directly to affect your life. So people have the mountaintop experience. And then from there, they just go, woo. And I told you earlier that in the first service, that Moses, when he went on the mountain, and he came back, he said, wow, they're going to look at him. I mean, look at in Matthew 17 too. Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said his body just went all white. I had that in those kind of encounters. There was WCC 1998. As I was ministering, the brethren there said they saw just a cloud. It wrapped the pulpit. I said, wow. And then, you know, How one time at that, you know, people were saying, oh, I can't look at you, you know, and all that. The same person who said, I can't look at you, eventually abused me. You know why? Because the thing is going to fade away. The same Moses said, we can't hear Moses, you know, they covered their face. They said, who stole you? Because it's going to fade off. That glow will go. That's quite a quote. That glow will go. Come on. Some wisdom quote there, man. It will go. That feeling of, oh my God, I would have missed it. It will go. It's what you do with it that will last. Same Jesus that had all that, they came and arrested him and crucified him. So you cannot live on that experience. You must keep having those experiences, but you must know what to do with them. And I mentioned this in the first service. There was a brother like that. He was sharing something. He used to be a pastor. He was sharing something on a blog. I've warned you. Watch what you speak against and mock, even if it's private. God is not in the public space alone. He's in the private space. So he commented on that blog and he said, all these people, and he mocked the moving of the Spirit. He mocked it. He wrote it. He said, I used to have this experience, you know, but I'm grown up now. Something funny like that. And he said, I think he mentioned being foolish. So I called someone. I said, look at this guy. He was a preacher. I said, write it down. In a few years, you won't know he's a believer. So recently, and the guy is a public guy, he's a public person today. People know him, he's very popular. And someone, I said, do you know this guy is a Christian? I said, no. I said, he's a believer. Not just that. I said, he used to be a pastor. Not just that. Let me tell you the clincher. He used to be part of our ministry. He said, I said, yeah. But I said this when he made that comment. Because it is God that will act upon what you have said. It's not me and you. And when you mock things like that, they come back to you. So for such a fellow like that, he didn't know what to do with those experiences. So after a while, they look ordinary to him. Because he didn't use it for anything. And I said, it's not difficult to switch. Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon by Jonah. And in not too long after, Peter said, you know, you rebuke Jesus, be far from you. Jesus turned to the same Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. The same person. So you must know what to do with such supernatural encounters. You have a responsibility to keep what you have. The difference between people who attend the same meetings, they will get blessed. And I said this in the first service. We used to do Holy Ghost meetings every night. In the 90s, middle 90s. Every evening. We'll gather myself and friends and we'll rejoice. You know, we had prophecies. Some very deep encounters in those meetings. And I said in the first service that, now this is not to mock people, just to guard our hearts. Over 2/3 of that number are not in the ministry today. I'm just being conservative. Why? It's about what we do after. Now, I am referring to those meetings today, and I think one or two of my friends, because we did something with it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 1. It says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we drift away from them. So we can drift away. You will just drift away from it. He said, let us give the more earnest attention to the things that we have heard. Are you in church? And you find the scripture says to hold fast. Look at Paul speaking to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is a pastor. In fact, Timothy is not just a pastor. He's Paul's favorite son. Favorite son. And he says to him in 13, hold fast the form of sound words. I like how Brother Higgins says it. He says, if the Bible says hold fast, that means it can slip away from you. Hold fast the form of sound words which you have heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Look at 14. Let's take 14 together. Let's go. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost. Keep. Now, if you don't keep it, can it drift away? Yeah. Keep it. You know, he said that often to Timothy. In 2 Timothy, the same chapter, chapter 1, verse 6, he says, stir up the gift of God. And I showed you in the first service, it means to rekindle it. We'll come back in a moment. In 1 Timothy 1:18, he says to Saint Timothy, don't forget, Timothy is his choice son. Is his choice son. That is, this is, if you say somebody who reflects Paul the most, is Timothy. And he needed this level of instruction. Sometimes, you know, when you read Paul's letters to Timothy, you would think he's talking to a new convert. That's why I always tell you, the way you grow, you don't outgrow the basics. The way you grow is the way you grow. Some of them say, well, Pastor, I'm in ministry now, so what do you do? How do you do? I tell them, wake up in the morning, pray. They'll think there's something magical you're going to tell them. I said, when you pray, read the word. Create times for personal retreats. Study the word of God. They say, yes, I know those things, Pastor. I know. What else? What are these things? Do you think I'm a Babalawo? You know Babalawo in the Greek? There's nothing. It's just the same things. You have to create time to grow. There's no magic one. It's the basic things. Just those basic things. Wake up and pray. Fast. Go for evangelism. There's nothing that has changed. The only difference is consistency. I've told you, perfection is not possible, but consistency is what? Possible. It's possible. So they wait for something. Paul is writing to Timothy basic things. Now, don't forget, Timothy is meant to have been in ministry for many years. As at this time, Timothy is pastoring churches. He's a pastor of pastors. But has he outgrown instructions? No. At all. You don't outgrow it. You don't say that was then. Now it's just me and the Holy Ghost. No. In 2 Timothy again, chapter 3, he writes to Timothy in verse 14, continuing those things. In 1 Timothy 4:14, he says, neglect not the gift. So we have responsibilities. Responsibilities, what to do with a meeting. So this is my own attitude. I have meetings that I attend, and those meetings play a major role in how we lead this church. And all the pastors know. I usually wait. In fact, what I teach at camp meetings stems from the meeting. That is how. I don't bother praying and saying, Lord, no, there's no reason. You don't change what works. So every time before I go for such meetings, I'll have written my expectations, what I desire from the Lord. Then I'll fast. Then I'll pray. Then during the meetings, I'm fasting. I'm praying. And no time for extracurricular activities. After the meeting, I write down, this is what the Lord laid on my heart. And ensure I listen to the teaching all over again. Then I say, all right, this is the direction he has given me. There must be particular things to be done afterwards. The Christian life is practical. You have to be practical. So if you are going to avoid the mountaintop experience, then the valley low experience immediately, you must learn to know what to do with what you have received. The day of Pentecost was a glorious meeting. Acts 2:1 says there was the day of Pentecost was fully come to all in one place in one accord, and suddenly verse 2, there came a sound from heaven, so the rushing mighty wind, it filled all the house where they were seated. That didn't happen again and again. Every day I met. And they appeared to them, Acts 2:3, cloven tongues of fire, sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in tongues, and the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. So what happened? What happened was not that they were just describing the meeting. People were wondering in consternation and surprise what's going on. Some mocked them. But the Bible says Peter, standing up with the 11 or the 12, he preached. Something was done with it. Acts 2:41, about 3,000 received the gospel. Acts 2:42, look at it. It says they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, breaking of bread, prayers, and fellowship. Acts 2:47. Now, of course, Acts 2:43 says that there were signs and wonders done through their hands. Acts 2:44 says all the believers had all things in common and no one was in need amongst them. Acts 2:44 and 45, people gave what they had to those who had need and all of that. Acts 2:46, they continued in the temple, and 47, daily praising God. But Acts 2:47 says, the Lord now had it daily. So there's something they did how often? Daily. There must be that consistency that is always required. So what are you doing daily with what you have received at the camp meeting? What are you doing with the numerous experiences? 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18. Paul says, quench not the spirit. Now, verse 19. And I mentioned that in the first service, that the word quench means don't put out fire. So you can rewrite it in your own Bible and it says, don't put out the fire of the Spirit. And we looked at the background of that in Leviticus 6 and verse 12, verse 9, 12 and 13, where the priests were told to ensure the fire never leaves the altar. It was their job. How would I be the one? Don't forget, when God put man in the Garden of Eden, that's Adam, who is meant to be God's image, alright? And then he put him in the garden. The garden there is God's tabernacle, right? What was his job? Genesis 2:15. To dress it, which means to serve, and to keep it, to oversee it. Which means for that tabernacle to function in the earth, it's your responsibility. So in Leviticus 6, 12, I think that's 12 and 13, yep, and verse 9. In fact, verse 13 says the fire must never leave the altar. It must continually burn. That is your responsibility. To keep the fire burning. In those days when we started the Faith Family Fellowship, in around 1994, when we finish services, the way we used to greet one another, when we're done, we'll say, keep the fire burning. Actually, the way you say, turn to someone and say, cheer up, brethren, the word works. Then we say, keep the fire burning. It's your duty to keep the fire burning. It's not going to burn by itself. Because the fire of the Spirit is given to us as a responsibility. All those experiences given to you as a responsibility. Paul writes to Timothy and he says you should not neglect the gift. 1 Timothy 4:14. And I told us in the first service, the word to neglect means to be careless. You are just careless about it. Careless about utterances. Careless about prophecy. Careless about laying on of hands. Do you know that when hands are laid on you, something happens to you? What was it? Can you remember it? Do you know that there's a deposit of the Spirit of God that comes to you? Do you remember it? Do you know that an utterance was given to you? Do you remember or you have forgotten? So you find Christians always looking for revival because they did nothing with the last one. Again, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 20, despise not prophesying, which means to treat it with contempt. To just look at it. That was the big deal. Rather, he says in verse 21, prove all things. Now, we've done a series on that, experimenting the things of God. The word prove there means to experiment. Which means that for me to keep the fire of the Spirit, I must keep experimenting the things of God. I must keep experimenting the things of God. Put them to work. We'll see a couple of practical things in a moment. Are you in church? Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:16. In 16, it says, rejoice evermore. 17, pray without ceasing. 18, giving thanks always, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Then 19, don't quench the fire of the Spirit. Read them all together and you will see the instructions that will keep your Christian walk always burning. Are you in church? So, now, what do I do with the experience? I'll share the story I shared in the first service again. So 32 years ago, later this year, I gathered with people and we had this, we just found ourselves having a desire to reach our community and then the whole of Lagos and eventually Nigeria. And so I found these guys, who about seven of us, eventually about 10, but seven initially. And in fact, someone called us seven apostles then. You know, people like titles a lot, but that's cool. And so we began to talk about the need for a revival, the move of the Spirit. We prayed about it at some point. So we now gathered ourselves at Star Palace, and that was a hotel place, and we began to sing and pray. And obviously there was a move of the Spirit of God that evening. It was a Sunday evening. And we all prayed and, you know, in fact, some people laid prostrate on the floor and we're worshiping God. And we all saw that God had something he wanted to do through us. So as we were done, in fact, we sang the song by Bob Fitts, God of great courage, source of our strength, grant us the spirit of unity. We sang that song. Then just about the time we were about to leave, just about to 7 in the evening, I said, guys, so what do we do next? Everybody kept looking like they were surprised. I said, I believe we should fast and pray. Because when you have such an experience of the Lord, you must pray. Jesus prayed when he was being baptized. He prayed after he was baptized. And he kept a consistent prayer life. He went ahead to fast. Years later, of course, I'll have said this. I didn't say that then. So there are three men in scripture that fasted in prayer, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. Three men. Always note those three men. Those three men were found on the Mount of Transfiguration. And you know, if you don't see that pattern, then what did you see? Three men who had such glorious encounters, an effect on humanity, and today, in scripture, they stand remarkably. So I told them, I said, guys, we need to do something about it. So everybody agreed that evening was about 7 because we had to leave quickly. I think we got that particular place till about 7 o'clock. So we said that from Monday through to 2 weeks, we're going to fast and pray, meet every evening 6 o'clock at the house of brother, so and so. Let me not leave the name. So we agreed. So everybody began. So I, of course, will start fasting just about the Monday. Then I just went to check my brethren, just to check the brother that was supposed to host the prayer meeting in the evening. So I got to his house and initially I thought it was someone else who had the food. So it was a round table and he had bread and beans. Was it bread and beans? No. It was supposed to have bread. I think his own was a bar. And I said, So I didn't know it was his, but he came to claim it. So he said, well, he's sorry. But he was led not to fast. Listen. I'm going to come to this in a moment. You see, such leading cannot be of God. God is not the author of confusion. He said he wasn't led, he was led not to fast. And you know, the thing about such examples, other people just picked it. Second person just brought bread and beans. And that particular beans, I liked it. God used to buy it in the evening. It was lovely beans in there. And everybody said, you know, and then somebody just said it casually that, hey, but meanwhile, you are the one that really had that impression. Hey, whoa. And I said, okay, no problem. Now, I didn't get discouraged. Rather, I extended mine for 30 days. Eventually, I think I'm mixing something up. Eventually, I think I went about 90. Then every year I ensured I was fasting longer than that just to see what. Now, I now share this in the first service. Now, when that vision took off, the people who participated in it were not born again the year we prayed about it. God will replace anybody. I've always told you that, right? There's no one that is indispensable. No one. Years ago, in our ministry, we had not started since from the church, but we're pastoring the church. And someone, you know, used to be very active and used to give. So, but there was this sense of entitlement. You know, people always have that. We all do. I also. We all human beings, we do. And this fellow was like, you know, but why this one? And I said, you have been a blessing to us. Are you a burden? He said, no, sir, I'm just singing. I said, write what I'm about to say down. God will raise people that will do what you're doing more than you and will not have this attitude. That's what God's going to do. There's no one that is indispensable. In our church, we've seen it over the years. When someone feels, well, I'm the only one who can do something, God has a way of showing you. He will just have other people do it. And that will just be it. So don't feel indispensable. Say with me, say, I'm available, Lord, to be used by you. Excellent. And that's why as a pastor, you know, sometimes someone will call me and say, you don't feel like, And then I say, and I call myself to order. I'm saying this last week. This is not this week. You know, all of us leaders, myself included, we've not had any break. So I was moving from one thing to the other. And then somebody called me, sorry, I felt like, And I felt, hey, would you rather no one calls you anymore? No, that means you are done for. I said, Lord, I thank you for this call. Lord, you know I don't like it, but I had to do it. Or else you're going to be in trouble. You complain, God is using you, he will stop. He doesn't want to bother you. Amen. Oh, the Lord. You know, you go, you know, it's not all easy. You just say, glory, glory. Oh, glory. It was inconvenient. But that's what it means to be used of God. Are you here? So those guys just went off. And I took it on myself. This is what we're going to be doing. When I had the vision of World Changers Conference, it was 1997. So I shared with a friend who, you know, I believe God wanted us to do it together, and we did. In June, July 1998, I told them, I said, God wants us to do something like this, and we all prayed about it. It's fine. I'm in our way. We got something about it, and we did. And so we had the first one. But after the first one, it appeared like, you know, the others weren't just willing to continue. Everybody just went their own separate ways and all that. But the meeting is still on. Right? Yeah. The fellow who hosted the first one came for 2008 World Children's Conference at Ipeh. So he stayed. He stayed at the back. I remember it was one of the sisters who's a leader now in K2 Church. She prayed him. Then he said, I burst into tears. I said, why? He said, it's just good to keep at something. He was now an invitee to a meeting that he started. So I choose to be consistent. I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm saying that so that you will know consistency is what makes glorious days not in your past. It shouldn't be in your past. See, my best days are not behind me. So Paul says, keep the fire of the Spirit. You have to do it. You have to keep it. And I said something in the first service, you know, many of us, you know, we try to run a 400 meters race, like 100 meters. And I shared the story of this marathon we had. And this guy, the marathon was supposed to be, I can't remember how many kilometers, but the way he took off, like 100 meters. By the time he got, now, the race was really going to start at the school gate. But he began the race from the field. By the time he got to the school gate, where the race would now really start, he had collapsed, needing glucose. He was running a marathon like 100 meters. And some of us do that thing with that same thing. We go, oh my God, what a great camp meeting. Ah, so blessed. Blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. I lay down. You get that right? I lay down. And then that's all. Just all. Someone was telling me, not a member of this church, the glory of God. Monday said, what a glorious camp meeting. Me and my friends, we went to cinema. Eh? You went to where? I said, did you not listen to the instruction I gave on Monday? Oh, that's true. The person was writing good tribute on Facebook. Rabbi. Rabbi. What a blessing, Rabbi. Oh, camp meeting. Oh, camp meeting. Writing the tribute in cinema. Said, you know that all your leaders, those who came from home and abroad, we all waited here. Till Friday, praying, sharing God's word. Tired. But there's work to be done. Till Friday. And that's what we do after such special meetings. What you do after is very important. We're all here. Hearing God's word. Fellowshipping. Vigils. Prayer meetings. Because the result of work done is more work to be done. Did you hear me? The result of work done is more work to be done. Someone told me this. He said, Pastor, I heard a song I composed years ago. It blessed people. The person is not here anymore. He said, and I'm wondering, how did I get to this point? I said, it doesn't happen instantaneously. There are things you gradually did, and you moved away from the responsibility that that meeting gave to you. And so we must know, what to do after a special meeting, after a camp meeting. What do I do afterwards? Do you know, quickly, look at 1 Kings. 1 Kings, you had the story of Solomon. Solomon was called to build the temple, which he did, 1 Kings 6, 7, 8, 9. And then he prayed a prayer. And you know the story of how he asked the Lord. And he said, Lord, what I want is just wisdom. To lead your people. To guard and guide them. And listen to what I'm about to say next. We don't find any consistent record of Solomon going back to that temple. After that encounter, in 1 Kings chapter 10, the queen of Sheba came to him. He just went secular. He got wisdom to lead God's people. The wisdom was now giving political people advice, business people. It now brought fame to him. He built a temple for people to come to serve Yahweh. The wisdom was now for people to come to hear him. By 1 Kings 11, he was now married to idol worshippers. The company you keep is very important. The same Solomon. 1 Kings 11, look at it. It says, the king Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zenonites, and Hittites. He didn't have any wars to fight. And he had in verse 3, 700 wives, powerful princesses, 300 concubines, and the wives turned away his heart. Relationships play a greater role than you think. It came to pass when he was whole that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord, and as the heart of his father David. And he went after Ashereth, the goddess of Zenonites, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Let's take verse 6 together and verse 7. 1 Kings 11. Are you there? Let's go. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and went out fully, and did as did David his father. Now look at verse 7. Then did Solomon build a high place for Chemosh, abomination of Moab, in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for the abomination of the children of Ammon. 8. So he replicated what he did for the Lord, for the gods. Why? Because he didn't continue to worship God. Same guy. Same person. And the Bible is very direct. His wives. Can we say his relationships? His friends? People he was hanging around with? Can we also have cinema? What about cinema? Monday cinema. Come on. Monday after camp meeting, he went on Netflix the whole day. Oh, I see the fire of God's me. Now torchlight remain. Which fire? You have torchlight. You need to know what to do with it. What did you do afterwards? He says you will meditate upon these things day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. Are you listening here? You need to know what to do. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas ministered to the Lord, and the Holy Ghost said to them, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I've called them. And they go, woo! My God! See revelation! You know what? The Holy Ghost spoke to us. The Holy Ghost spoke to us. Oh my God. What an experience. And then I said, what an experience. Just took Bolly and Epa. And what a glorious experience. Ah! What a glorious experience. And unfortunately, go to Stamford Bridge, you know, and
what did you do afterwards? Paul and Barnabas. The Bible says they continue to pray and fast. The result of more prayer, the result of answered prayer is more prayer. I told you before, when God answers you, he gives you the burden to pray again. Is that clear? There's more to be done. And they fasted and prayed. That's what they did afterwards. They said, wow, what a great time. What a great time. You see, I love testimonies, right? I love people to give testimonies. I may not be the way others do it, but I would love to ask you, what are the instructions that came out of this? The life wire of Christian living are instructions. Don't just love information. What are the instructions? Flee from all appearance of evil. Paul gave those instructions. He says, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Flee from all appearances of evil. Avoid it. Run away from it. Flee from fornication. Flee from the love of money. Run! Run! Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly unto them. Pray without ceasing. That is where the growth is. The growth is not saying, hallelujah, woo! Mm-mm. That's the information that you need. But listen, what will trigger the growth is your obedience to the instructions that you have been given. Are you following what I'm saying? Without order, there can't be growth. What did I say? What did I say again? There cannot be growth. There has to be order before there's growth. So instructions will come by prophecy, for example. Prophecy will come to you. But then you have to be very wary, and I must mention this one, about prophecy. And be very intelligent about it. I'm standing before you today in all humility as one who has had different revelations of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I stand to tell you again that a good number of things will take you years to understand. It might just take you some order in your life. Order. I'll come to that in a moment. And there are people who have gotten the right thing and did the wrong thing with them. Years ago, we used to have special meetings in our ministry then in the 90s. We had Miracles Extraordinary, Glory of God Seminar, Rivers of Joy, one more. We used to have, I used to bring people to preach. And I used to just be the host. I won't preach at all. I'll just wrap up their sessions. They were friends, so I let them go. And we have some of those meetings sometimes. I remember one day, as we were having the meeting, there was an utterance that said, this meeting should continue for another 4 days. And I'm the pastor, my head is going, huh? The budget came. We're just trying to raise the money for the first 4 days ago. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. So we quickly went to meet the guy who was the hotel manager and we begged him. You know, today is Friday. You won't ask him money till Monday. You know, we have been a blessing to you. God, you feel the Holy Ghost. So wait till next week to collect your money. We need all of that. So we should have those meetings. But somehow, and I noticed that there were three very committed members who were even leaders, decided to behave differently. Now, I was younger then in ministry. I'm talking something close to 30 years. I was younger in ministry, so I didn't take notes. But I just noticed that if I say, oh, let us do something, or like before, their response changed. In fact, later I found out that one of them said to one of the leaders and said, Pastor said this, but I just think I should pray about it. Something he never said before. And he said, somebody will go to the ministry, and his first speaking in tongues was Tobias Tambala, Tobias Tambala, Tobias Tambala. So what was that? Nebuchadnezzar, and he was that. He will go and feel the Holy Ghost. He started saying, I want to pray over it. I didn't take it until one day, somehow, I don't know, I was trying to look for a date or something. So I got into a diary, and I noticed the invited speakers had loaded them with prophecies that confused them. They didn't know they were confused. One of the prophecies was, this is not really your ministry. You met someone in a church and you said that kind of thing. That's not the Spirit of God. This is not really your ministry. Step out. Step out. This is a stepping stone. So because he was told he was going to step out, he was now stepping on his passport. And notice he was not the only one that they had given such prophecies to. So, wow. And all of them started to act that way. They did not judge it. They didn't judge it. They just took it. Years later, right here, the same person came and said, Pastor, I know I heard. I said, but I warned you. I am your pastor. Whatever you're told, I should confirm it for you. You should trust that I've got the Holy Ghost. I led you. I brought the man. Now the men are not there. He's not there. So what do I do? I said, I'm not sure. This is many years after. We're just not smart. God is not an author of confusion. He's not. Paul and Barnabas, where did they receive? Jesus appeared to Paul, don't forget, in Acts 9. But they were in the church at Antioch. The Holy Ghost said. The Holy Ghost speaking was a concomitance of the leadership. Paul says, the gift that is in you by the little hands of the leadership and the prophecies. God is a God of order. Did you hear what I just said? In those experiences, people still have them today. I go to preach for people. And I've been on the field before for many years. There was a year I preached 52 weeks in a year. I had meetings virtually every other day. But I never give anyone a prophecy without the pastor hearing what I'm about to say. I don't do it. I said, the pastor, come and hear this. There's some times that people will come to me and say, I want to tell you something. There was one guy, it was Oshogbo, 2001. He said, want to tell me something? And I said, about his life and his family and the church. No, didn't mention the church. So I said, hold on. So I called the pastor. I said, sit down. Say it all over again. The pastor laughed. Don't mind him. He just cooked up a story. He said, but you're a very unique person. I said, why? He said, normally people would not call the pastor. I said, no. I live in order. I'm going to leave. You are the one that will be here. You are the door of the sheep. Exactly. I'm not. I'm just someone coming to help your joy. And there are people like that that have been misled. There have been people that have given prophecies that have destroyed homes, destroyed families, caused confusion to people's lives and businesses. Why? They moved out of God's order. Say, I live in order. Say, I live in order. So when prophecies come, you judge them. What is God telling me to do? You judge them from God's word. You judge them by the scriptures. We'll look at that one some other time. Now, I said that deliberately. It wasn't part of my teaching, but that, I believe, is for people here. Is that very clear? Right. You have a church. The order of the local assembly, right, is how God has structured your spiritual growth. That's so clear. So here, what do I do with the fire of God's Spirit from a meeting? There must be an outlet for it. Because if there's no outlet for fire, it becomes bushfire. It will destroy things that wasn't meant for. That's just an illustration. So you start out, what do I do with the things of the Spirit? The encounters I have. The first thing is your personal devotion. What did I call it? Personal devotion. What do I do next? What's the next thing to be done? Personal devotion. Have you written out what you are going to do every day? The fire must now go into you waking up in the morning, taking your Bible to read. It must be seen in you waking up to pray. Fire must be seen every day. You can't have goosebumps every day. You can't have that wholesome feeling every day. But you can take it to have an effect on how you wake up every day. Waking up to pray. Waking up to study God's word. So number one, create a routine. A routine that helps that fire to be kept, to keep burning. A routine every day. Years ago, can't remember the meeting I went for. It was a missions conference, yeah. So I just said to myself, I'm going to make a commitment to have between 6 and 8 hours every day to study and pray. I'm saying something about 30 years ago, or less than 30 years ago. Now, do I always keep it? Obviously, no. But you know what I did? I said, every time I miss it, and it's not up to it, I'm going to have a vigil to make it up. Sometimes I have a whole day shutting to just make it up. So I've been doing my best to be consistent at it. Sometimes it's not convenient. But everyday devotion to take that same fire to be consistent in your life. I'm saying 6 to 8 hours minimum every day. It's not achievable every day, definitely. But when you know you have a lapse, you now find a way to make it up. It must be in your head and your heart all the time. Consistency is achievable. What did I say? Perfection might not be possible, but what? Consistency is achievable. Number two. Take the outlets to your local church. Your local church here, since community church, then break it down. If camp meeting was such a blessing to you, did you attend the prayer group meeting? If you did not attend the prayer group meeting this week, the fire is going out. Did you attend the prayer meeting? I'm not saying did you pray on your own. Mm-mm. Did you attend the prayer meeting? The prayer groups here. The prayer meeting. Did you attend fellowship during the week? That's what the fire is for. Did you go out on evangelism during the week? Did you? Did you ask your pastor? And I asked you to do that at camp meeting. I'm available. What do you want us to do in our fellowship? You remember I said that to you? Did you do that? If you can't keep that, how would you get another one? Did you attend the prayer meetings this week? Your local church must know you went for such a camp meeting. And to the glory of God, we have people who come to church, to our meetings, and they go back to their ministries. And I've said this before. Nobody listens to me. I'm talking about myself. And is not committed in his local church. In fact, I get that testimony every now and then that no, that whenever people come in contact with your ministry, they come back and they are more diligent, more obedient and accountable in their local assembly. Because that's an emphasis of Bible doctrine. Number three, as it reflected in your conduct, you went back to the same friends. No, that fire is ebbing out, waning. You don't. It would be almost impossible. You know, I had friends before I became a very committed Christian. That the moment I committed myself to the work of the gospel, there was nothing we could discuss again. We just had a limited number of subjects. Because we weren't going to the same places or thinking the same things. The fire of God's Spirit was burning in my life. And that's what Kizuyaki Lume said years ago, Kizuyaki Lume, the pastor of Christ Embassy. This was in 1994. He said, when you leave a meeting like this, there are things you don't go back to again. There are relationships you sever from. There are relationships you build. Because there's an impact of the Spirit. Number four. So I said number three, conduct your conduct. There are things you know, not anymore. Not anymore. I won't be doing this anymore. Not this, not anymore. And one of the ways you know your conduct has changed is the relationships you no longer keep. Number four, the work of the ministry is enhanced. Immediately you get busy. Hear what I'm about to say. The fire of God's Spirit is for activity. It's for what? It's for what? It's not a decoration. The move of the Spirit is not for decoration. I love to fall under the power of God. I've been in meetings even this year. Yeah, and I just go under the power of God. Whether hands are laid or not, I love those encounters with them. Someone said, it's people that fall under the power and people that they don't have anything to do with their life. I said, come, what have you done with your own life? Let's compare ourselves. Stop saying such nonsense. Hallelujah. No way. I love the glory of God. You know, I get up and I'm praying. Oh my God. God, remember when hands were laid on me for the teaching gift to begin to work, I prayed that night into the morning. I was so engulfed. Oh my God, you are praying. By the next day, I've gone to preach. Immediately, I created a platform to preach and teach. When church that I pastored in Ibadan closed down, the members were leaving. I didn't stop. I created a Bible study immediately. Started to teach people. Because you can't neglect the gift. You must keep working. You must keep working. Don't say, self-pity, you know, and I pray, and come on, get off it and get on in the work of the ministry. When the Holy Ghost came on David in 1 Samuel 16 and verse 12 and 13, the Bible says from that day forward, you could see something was hitching. He went after Goliath. I'm not sure the day he killed the lion and the bear. Maybe it was afterwards, but he went after Goliath.
there's always activity for God's kingdom. Saul of Tarsus has Jesus appeared to him, and Ananias laid hands on him. Immediately the Bible said he got up and began to preach. Same as what's this girl? Apollos in Acts 18. Immediately began to preach. There's no gap between the fire of the Holy Ghost and activity. It is for activities. Ministry commences immediately. So if this week you haven't preached the gospel to the unsaved, that fire is waning. Be careful. So in the next few weeks, the entire camp meeting becomes memorial. Ministry. Number 5. Don't miss the next special meeting. Are you here? Don't miss the next special meeting. Don't miss meetings that change your life. Don't miss it. Satan has a way of getting you crowded. I told you how I now began to, because of my preaching engagements, I was missing a particular meeting. I was missing it. So I missed it 1 year. I felt it. I've been in the ministry for a few days. But for me to clearly say, I felt it. So I had to tell the person that I was preaching for, I said, I won't be able to attend the next one. We have to arrange. I'm feeling it already that I did not attend that meeting. He said, okay. He said, I am already feeling it. Because you don't change what works. You don't try to substitute it. There are people, for example, they'll come for one of our meetings and they're blessed. Rather than come again, they'll say they want to go and replicate it. That's not how God works. They'll say, go and look at the, what do you call that thing? The patents. Let's look at the formula. The formula is the first day, Holy Ghost meeting. Then the second day, teaching, then singing. It doesn't work like that. Formulas don't work for ministry. You get that? Formulas do not work for ministry. There has to be the power of the Holy Ghost. Is that clear? Formulas don't work. When I get the formula, just a formula. The formula, just teach. It doesn't work that way. That's why some are frustrated. Because they are not called to do what they are doing. They are only trying to say, let me just reproduce what this person is doing. And they err. You can't use the Holy Ghost for competition. What did I say? You can't use the Holy Ghost for competition or for a self-motivated ambition. The Holy Ghost is not a tool. So you find ministry to work with. Are you following what I'm saying here? Are you following what I'm saying here? The next special meeting, don't miss it. Be there. And give yourself over to it. Are you following what I'm saying here? Look at 1 Timothy again. Chapter 4, verse 14. It says, neglect not the gift which is in you. 1 Timothy 4, 14. Neglect not the gift that is in you, which was given you by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery. Then it says, meditate upon these things. Notice. It didn't say, meditate upon the word of God. It said, these things. What are the things? The instructions he gave him. Think about it. Meditate. I went for a camp meeting years ago. And we're told to ensure that we took time to fast and pray. And I did. I thought about it. How am I going to do it? I said, if I go back home, I won't have time to do this. Now, of course, it's a different way I'll do that today. So I went ahead and began to fast and pray. Took time, went for evangelism. Came back again. Some of them will be dry. I've not asked you to do that. So now just do every day, go out in the morning, take a 6-hour walk to pray, to keep it. That is why I'm here today. You must not lose the fire. If you are told to keep the fire, that means you can lose the fire. So guys, I'll close here. Camp meeting is not meant to be a mountaintop experience. And from there you slide to the valley. No, you can keep the fire burning. You can. You can. Pray. Study God's word. Find your place in the local church. Look at that song. Everything I ever need, He has supplied. I love a particular part of the song. Through the times and seasons. Through the times and seasons. Because every time is not going to be an exciting time. It's not. One of the men I respect a lot is Reverend Tokes. I've known him now for 31 years. I invited him first to speak for us 30 years ago. So he has seen us in classroom, hall. He has seen all that face. There was a time like that I called him to speak for us and I had to give him an honorarium. I borrowed money from him. I never said this publicly before. So he lent us money. I eventually gave him afterwards. So he has seen us over the years. Work together. I used to be his associate pastor at some point to help out the church he was pastoring. Not a permanent one. We work together. He has proven to be one of the most consistent human beings I've ever seen. That I've ever known. Sometimes annoyingly consistent. When someone is so consistent that you are annoyed. Can't you just change? He has followed just one single man all his life. Kenneth Hagin. At some point, some of us were even upset. I used to tell him, you made me love Kenneth Hagin. Because I saw the fruit in your life. In the times and seasons that were tough and rough, you stood strong. You kept the attitude of having your morning devotion, afternoon and evening. Sometimes you're traveling together with him in the plane. And when you talk to him, he says, devotion, devotion. He says, let's land first. What an attitude. That's why today everything he said that he was going to do 30 years ago is what he's doing. Perfection might not be possible, but consistency is possible. He used to walk. Today, he goes around the world preaching. But I told someone, I said, do you know that the same person has walked across 4 towns to preach? No money to preach. There was a time we were going to church. None of us had money. Because he's a fast runner. He said, let's run now. The Holy Ghost came on Elijah. That's how we began to run to Songo. So that we would not get late to church. Consistency is possible. Very possible. Be consistent about who you follow, what you listen to, the church you follow, the church you attend. Be consistent. And you will see the fruit of consistency. Inconsistent people don't grow. Is that very clear? Create consistency after camp meeting. And all will be well. Is that clear? We've been around for a few years. There are things we can tell you. Just stick to consistency. When it is convenient or not, wake up and pray. Go for evangelism. Go for your prayer group. The fire will keep burning that way. Stay faithful. Study the word of God. When you leave service, go on these notes, read them. I believe tomorrow camp meeting teachers will be out. Go and listen to it. I believe this teaching today will be out tomorrow, so go and listen to it. That's all that you need. And the growth will come. Guys, this is a season of growth. Did you hear me? You have to grow. Stop being a baby. The time you ought to be teachers. I told someone, I said, look at what you are still saying. You've been in this church for how long? He This is something we should be telling new members. But inconsistency will make you remain a baby. It's time to grow, right? It's time to grow. It's time to grow. And take the fire of captivity to our world. God is calling us to consecration. Growth is possible when there's consecration and consistency. Listen, I shared the Rentok story. I didn't plan to. Because, like I said, I've not known anybody who has been like that. Just too consistent. Who he follows, what he does. And look at the work God has put in his hands. Just blossom. Not just in Nigeria, Africa, and around the world. I mean, I've known him for a few years to say, this is the hand of God. I learned, amongst other two people, how to flow with the Holy Ghost from him. To just watch him. Remember, Reverend Mark Hankins came for a meeting in 2013. And we had this, some of you were there, right? Huh? Alright, and then they said that he was right there in the entourage of Reverend Mark Hankins. They came together, it was in the protocol. Imagine. And so then they said, what a glory of God in this meeting. So they were really astounded, they were surprised. And he was seated right there. They said, tell me, how did you prepare your congregation? In fact, Remark, like I said, I've only seen the move of God like this in two places in my life. Brother Higgins meetings and my meetings, I think another friend of his. The wife said, I've never seen this before. And Remark is a man known for flowing with the Holy Ghost. So he now said, tell me. I said, I just turned to Reverend Tokes. I said, he taught me. They were shocked because he was the one carrying their Bibles. You don't need titles. I said, he taught me. He said, when? I said, yes. They didn't even know that the man that was carrying their Bible was move of God. Hallelujah. I know someday your fruit will show like that. But be consistent. Okay? Run away from temptation of jumping around. Be consistent. Stay with daily activities. Whether it's boring or not. Don't jump from fence to fence. Don't be a nomadic Christian. Stay here. God has brought you here. Stay here. Learn through the motions. Through the good times, the bad times. Growth will come out of it. And I know in years to come, you will minister to people in numbers. You will multiply. You will increase. The work of your hands will not die. The fire of the Spirit will not go down. You will not stop being humble. You will not be big in your own eyes. You will not be far from instructions. You will not run away from obedience. This fire will keep burning and burning and burning your life. Hear what I'm about to say. Pride will not enter your heart. You keep being humble before God, before men. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your devotion will not go away. Your everyday Bible study and prayer will not go off. You will be consistent. Evangelism will not go out of your life. You will be consistent. You will keep raising disciples by the power of the Holy Spirit. You are growing this year. You are growing this year. And that growth is going to continue for decades and decades in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands and worship God. Worship Him. Thank Him for your life. Dedicate yourself again and again. Again and again. Is this song?